Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Second half coming your way. We get into the news. We get some updates on John Singleton's death and Bradley Cooper, sexuality, and the Straight Pride Parade. First, Simply Safe, my kind of home security. They don't screw with you. They don't squeeze you for every penny. They don't make promises they can't keep or lock you into a contract. And it's not a gadget that sits on your front porch. And what if someone comes in a side window or you miss the alert? How's that work? Simply Safe watches every room, window, and door, 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch, built to withstand power outages, cut landlines, and more. Practically invisible, small sensors blend in. No pulling wires, no drilling holes, nobody crawling around your house. Peel and stick. Up and running in under an hour. Batteries last up to 10 years. Just 50 cents a day with no contract. So, Simply Safe, two eyes in there. Go to simplysafeadam.com for free shipping and a 60-day money-back trial. Simplysafeadam.com. That's simplysafeadam.com. Let's get on with the news.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
This half of the show brought to you by SimplySafeAdam.com and TrueCar.com. Sorry, Gina, go ahead.
No problem. A lot of celebrity news today, and starting with this because of something AJ Benza said last time he was on. The rumors are true. Bradley Cooper and his lady Irina Shayk are over. On Thursday, last Thursday, Shayk was spotted jetting out of L.A. with their daughter. She called the movers. She packed her possessions from their $5 million mansion. A source revealed, quote, they haven't been good for a few months. Irina decided it would be best if she moved out. They dated for 4 years. They have a two-year-old daughter. Bradley may have proposed. Irina was wearing an emerald ring, but never initiated any wedding plans. She seemed to be to keep the relationship on the down low, as AJ said, with one exception, again, as AJ said, only for attending red carpets.
Was she a model? Is she a model?
She is stunning, so I would not be surprised.
Yes.
Grab a picture. Yes, according to Chris.
She's very pretty.
Model.
I know she was.
But to keep the relationship on the down low, unless you have to haul somebody out for a red carpet appearance, that's sort of what AJ...
arm candy situation.
Yeah, that's sort of what AJ was talking about.
Just before we get too far away from the story, I was watching it last night, curious in Brian's thoughts of this.
Yeah.
The minority owner and the Golden State, like, pushing the guy in the shoulder, and he's got to apologize, and he's $500,000 fine and suspended for a year. It's like, are we going too, we're getting too soft and too, it's sports. You know what I mean? The guy just went sailing into the crowd.
Right.
People, also, there's a kind of a reaction that people have sometimes when somebody steps on their foot to just sort of push them,
right,
like react. It wasn't exactly that, but whatever. He's a athlete. He's a world-class athlete, and he got pushed on the shoulder. So it's all sort of symbolic. There's nothing physically. Yeah. Whatever goes on in the course of the game is 10 times more than a guy pushing you. So there's a symbolism to it.
Yeah, I think the guy who did the pushing and got the punishment is the very definition of a soft target. He has nothing to push back with. He's got to sort of just take it. He's not going to file a protest, like, all right, fine, whatever. Yeah, they could have handled this very easily with a, please don't do that again.
I just think is everything a hate crime? Like,
no.
Do we have to send a message all the time? The guy obviously is invested in the game because he's a minority owner of one of the teams. One of his guys on the other team goes sailing into the crowd, and out of sort of frustration, he pushes him on the shoulder. He doesn't make a fist. He doesn't punch him. He just kind of goes,
get out of his seat.
He does a kind of a move that people do when they're being rude and someone cuts in front of them in front of the line. They kind of shove them with their shoulder a little bit or whatever. It's a zero burger. I get it. He shouldn't do that. So we should do something. But like $500,000 fine for pushing someone on the shoulder, and then like suspended for a year, and then he has to do this whole thing where it's like, I've issued an apology and I'd like to have an audience with the player and make a donation. Like, I don't know. Can we
Everyone needs a pound of flesh.
Can we toughen up a little bit? Can we just keep moving a little bit?
To your point, sorry, I didn't ask for this, but if you can grab it really fast, because honestly, I didn't think it was news, but the meme going around or just on a loop of, I think it's the Warriors owner's wife chatting up Jay-Z over Beyonce while Beyonce's trying to watch the game.
She gave her a little hip check.
She did. Everyone's talking about, the side eye and the shade. No, no, no. She put that shoulder in there. So,
well, what she did, according to what I saw, is good for about $175,000 fine. She leaned into her a little bit and nudged her.
But the thing about that is, it's funny, ha ha ha. Well, of course, because we are in a ruined society, the woman who dared ask Jay-Z a question is getting death threats online, and now she's upset the
beehive.
Yeah, exactly. They put little bees everywhere, and then now they're giving her death threats. Watch this.
Yeah, Beyonce.
Oh, her face went from delighted to not delighted quite quickly.
Wait, keep going.
She gave her the nudge. Yeah, she boxed her out.
She boxed out. That's right. She got position.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have any history. It's the owner of the team you're there to watch. Yeah. Isn't it kind of cool when she asks a question?
I probably didn't know who she was.
She was asking if he wanted a lime for his drink.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't do that.
Like they got a drink. It's like, do you want a lime in there? We'll get you a lime. And then,
bitch, we're all about lemonade here.
That's true.
Wow, Brian.
That's right.
I mean, what? I mean, what drink?
Now, I did. Well, Beyonce has to know you're sitting next to the owner of the team and the owner's wife. Like, I think she knew the owner sitting next to her.
Right.
Like, she had to know the context of what was going on.
Was it Joe Lacob's wife or Peter Goober?
Well, her last name is Curran.
I will.
Does that mean anything to you?
Because they're the two, like, owner, I mean, capital O, like the guy, like the Jerry Joneses, you know what I mean? Like, and the other guys, the Mark Stevens, like, you know, he's in for $1 million or something.
Joe Lacob's wife.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he's the famous owner of the Warriors.
I will say this in Beyonce's behalf. She was wearing crazy boots, the wife. And I see crazy boots, I think crazy brain. Yeah. Like, it's when you have crazy boots, male or female.
That elevator goes in the basement of the penthouse.
Yeah.
That crazy elevator.
Yes. Crazy boots are crazy bright.
Okay.
I
like that.
It's hard to find examples of guys or men and women. There's plenty of men with crazy boots, too. They have crazy.
That is the greatest story I've ever heard.
She's in thigh-high sequin gold boots.
So there's crazy boots going on.
You're 28 inches away from Joe Lacob, who's pretty well known as an owner. At least amongst basketball people.
They had to know where they were sitting.
That's probably their seats, I would imagine. You know, they were invited guests. But Beyonce's not happy. The thing that this made me wonder about, remember a year or so ago that elevator fight between Beyonce's sister and Jay-Z when she went crazy on him and Beyonce just kind of stood there sort of meekly? I wonder, is there a history of the Knowles girls not liking people talking to their man?
Well, I'll tell you what it made me think of when I was watching it. And it's the same thing you see with the, like, I don't know, Aaron Hernandez, like just in his gangbanging days. Like, you take people, you make them rich, they make them rich, you're all of a sudden jet setting and as lavish a life as there can be, but you're still who you are. Mm. And if you're a guy who's made it in the NFL, you're Ray Rice, you punch chicks. That's the millions of dollars do not
subdue.
They're not a salve for that. That's always there.
If anything,
whoever. Whoever you are, that's kind of, it's there. You know, and the millions and millions in lifestyle and the lavish lifestyle do not cover that up. Right. So, in the moment. So, if you have that sort of, I don't know, Jenny from the block thing, I know I'm picking another diva, but I mean, it's like you are from the block and this happens in real time, you react. Mm-hmm. I'd say especially in matters that have to do with sexuality and men and somebody or posturing. Women, whatever that is, and men have it in terms of aggression and women, and they don't can't disguise it in that moment.
Well, she does her best to sort of ice everybody out.
Yeah, Rick James had crazy boots, and he was crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, her boots are crazy.
They're insane.
All right, that means she's insane.
Gary Glitter.
Yeah, it is. Oh,
it's in the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
And wow.
Stop it.
There it is. There's Rick James.
Mm-hmm.
Thigh-high leather. pleather.
He's got crazy boots, too. Okay. All right.
So in more celebrity news, Brad Pitt supports a lot of causes, but he's not into the straight pride parade that everybody was talking about because that was in response to the gay
pride parade.
Well, they're trying to organize it in Boston. They want to celebrate the diverse history and culture and contributions of the straight community, and for some reason the group group has been using Brad's name and image to promote. It says on the website, "Congratulations to Mr. Pitt for being the face of this important civil rights movement." Sources tell TMZ Brad's team has ordered a straight pride parade them to stop using his likeness for anything, and Chris Evans is getting in on it. He tweeted this earlier, you know, from Avengers. He said
he's such a woke puss.
Evans. Here we
go. That guy scares me.
This is what he had to say to the straight pride organizers. "Wow, cool initiative, fellas. Just a thought. Instead of straight pride parade, how about this? The desperately trying to bury your own gay thoughts by being homophobic because no one taught us how to access our emotions as children's parade. What do you think? Two on the nose?"
What a douche. He's such a douche. It's weird how douchey young straight dudes can be. It's weird. Like, you're supposed to just be trying to get laid.
Well, this
all.
Is how you try to get laid.
I guess you're right. I saw him on Jay Leno's Garage, and someone made him a hot rod or something, and I think it was an automatic, and I was like, douche. Done. Done, douche.
Because he's not doing the extra work?
I don't know. I sit around and I think about like Mark Ruffalo and guys like that's always like tweeting out super woke stuff. And it's so, I don't know. It feels so counterintuitive. But anyway. All right, douche. So, what's next?
Please take it down. Well, this is very interesting because we haven't talked about him in a while. TMZ reports that the hours leading up to John Singleton's hospitalization, which preceded his stroke and his death, are unaccounted for, and the family wants answers.
Unaccounted for?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew any of this, but this is weird because I didn't report it. It wasn't reported. Sources close to the famed filmmaker told TMZ some of the mothers of his children are very suspicious of the events leading up to John getting to the hospital. The hospital says they literally found him in a wheelchair, pretty out of it, like kind of on their doorstep.
I had this... Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I was talking about Singleton last night at like 10:30 or something. I was coming home from a comedy club. Look, this is weird. I was on the topic of woke tweeting, which is weird too. And I said, like, I get that it feels good to do like your woke tweeting because you get the feedback. And I said to the person I was talking to, when I was sitting at the other warehouse with John Singleton a few months ago, and we were just chatting, and somewhere in the middle of our chat, he went like, "Hey, I got to ask you, why did you make a film about an African-American race car driver?" I was like, "Because it was a good story." And he was like super impressed because I wasn't black and I have no connection to that world. And he just liked the I could tell he liked the idea of my openness of thought that I want to tell a good story. I don't care what color the guy is. But it felt good because I knew it was like my woke felt good moment. I thought, well, what if you could just feel that all day tweeting or a little drip of that morphine all day? I see why people get into it.
Yeah.
But my feeling is
you had to go and make a movie.
You should go make a movie and wait for John Singleton to show up to your warehouse.
Right.
But it's crazy. So keep going.
Yeah, so there's no Uber receipts or family or friends that say they took him. He just showed up sitting there in a wheelchair. That's where they found him, apparently.
You may not know this, but I wonder if they can like check his cell phone, like see where it pinged.
I'm sure they're getting into that. They've hired a private investigator to find out what he was doing beforehand, who he was communicating with, whether someone knew he was in bad shape. They could have done something sooner. So there's a lot of mystery surrounding his moments leading up to the hospital, apparently. Meanwhile, John's family also seems to be on the brink of a nasty legal war, according to TMZ. His mother, Sheila Ward, was just filed docs this week to immediately take control of his estate, and some of the family is not happy about that, and it's a mess.
This was not chronicled in Family Affair when the parents died, or the Brady Bunch,
or the Partridge Family.
Never a lawyer, attorney, someone showing up.
Yeah,
no
every
document.
3 years,
coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, every 3 years, the guy's got to sign some trustee papers or something.
Right. And in the Partridge Family, they had to form the band to get paid because right. Dad was gone.
Was that right. Is that the plot?
They had to make money.
Oh, Max Spada, here you go.
Was
but
that a love?
I do remember that Dad is gone, like the breadwinner's gone mm-hmm. from the family, and they got together. It's sort of cow salesy, but they still, I remember having to like form and go on the road, and yeah. Shirley Partridge was like, I'm tone deaf in the first episode, the pilot, and then
Marion the librarian formed, and the music
they,
man.
Yeah, they formed together, and they went and did it. Well, weird, the, and we'll
the,
keep you
the
posted.
Brady kids had to do the same thing. They were the silver platters, so they could buy the silver platter for Mike and Carol's anniversary.
Another thing that confused a 9-year-old Adam Carolla. Like, but there's something called engraving?
They know when their anniversary is?
The store sells with the name on it?
We're yeah. going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing all through the night. We're going to keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right. We're going to keep on, keep on, keep on dancing.
Oh, grooving.
There's a dancing and a prancing one.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I might have been off.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Because there was a moving and grooving and then a dancing and prancing.
Oh, of course.
God, it was good. Blue and white jumpsuits.
The silver plan. I love it when something would just come up and that never existed before. Like, oh, we're having the All Valley Karate Tournament, or we're having the dance competition of the talent. I was watching
Cousin Freddie's coming over.
I was watching, and you know where you can always tell. I was watching the Partridge Family. And it starts off, and the manager, Reuben Kincaid, is like sitting in their house, mm-hmm. like with his attaché case open. He's doing some paperwork. But the thing that's interesting about it is he's smoking, and he's never smoked in any episode before. But now he's smoking in their house, in their living room, like at noon. He's just doing it. And so you're like, why is he smoking a cigarette mm-hmm. in their living room in the middle of the day? And then at some point, Danny comes down, and they get into a discussion, and he's like, I'll bet you I can lose 10 pounds before you can quit smoking cigarettes. And you're like, oh, okay, there's our answer. But you can't take characters that have been in 71 episodes without a cigarette.
A new habit pops up.
And then just hand them a cigarette and put them in the living room.
Like nothing ever happened.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me hit True Car, and then we'll keep on keeping on dancing through the night. True Car, 60 seconds. That's how long this commercial lasts. What else can you do in a minute? Get an offer on your car. Just go to True Car. Use your smartphone or computer. Enter your license plate number and watch your car's details come popping on up. Answer a few questions. Get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you. Walk around. Ask questions. Get answers. No surprises. Then you can leave your car and Uber home with a check, or you can trade it in on a new or used car. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. That is True Car, everybody. All right, Gina, what else we got?
Well, Marsha Cross. You remember Marsha Cross from Desperate Housewives.
Sure, Marsha.
That's right. She wants to end the shame around a certain kind of cancer. So the Desperate Housewives star... Yeah. She appeared on Wednesday's episode of CBS This Morning to discuss her diagnosis from more than a year ago in order to destigmatize the disease. She has anal cancer. Here's what she has to say about the shame factor of that.
I know that there are people who are ashamed. You have cancer. Do you have to then, like, also feel ashamed, like you did something bad, you know, because it took up residence in your anus? I mean, come on, really. There's enough on your plate.
And it's even more...
Can't put anus and plate that close together when you're trying to
send a
get
message.
People past something, yeah. You know, visually.
Well, and it's not just that. Mm. So, and this kind of harkened back to the Catherine Zeta-Jones, Michael Douglas thing a little bit. Her husband, Tom Mahoney, was diagnosed with throat cancer in 2009.
Stop it.
Look.
Stop it.
Stop and listen.
Stop it.
Doctors now suspect that Cross's cancer and Mahoney's came from the same type of HPV that, you know, 1 in 5 people have it. HPV can be transferred through, according to CDC anyway, can be transferred through sexual intercourse, skin to skin. It can wreak havoc in the cervix and the genitals. Now, early immunization can prevent types of HPV that are common to cause cancer.
I'm against it. Slippery slope. Take your 14-year-old girl in.
Get her
vaccinated. Next thing, she hits the streets. There's
Loosey-goosey.
Well, she gets turned out by the Bishop Don Magic Wand because what's to stop her from having free sex with everybody in town?
She's
not going to get HPV. No. You just green-lighted her to the red light district, my friend.
Zero risk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of it that way. I really thought this was a miracle drug.
It sounds good. You're not alone.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
But it's a slippery slope.
Okay. Well, let's cancel it.
Right. Okay. Now, under my plan, she just never has sex.
Oh.
And there's zero chance.
Well, there's that.
It's the only way to be 100% sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
You're sending a dangerous message.
Sorry.
Yeah, Drew's talked about the vaccination for a while.
Against
HPV.
One in five people, according
He's also
to
always talked about HPV as well and thought that there's some correlation to cancer and stuff. That's like 20 years ago, but we didn't know.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you know, the two of you, how you're always going to the OBGYN, there will be years where the doctor says you have, you know, precancer cells, you're riddled with them, and then you go back and they're gone. Right. And so this is just a way to sort of prevent all of that, hopefully.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Little PSA.
Yeah. I didn't get laid a lot. So I never really thought that I'd be happy about that. But looking back on it.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. It's like the guys who didn't make the football team in high school. So you weren't concussed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You weren't happy about it at the time.
In retrospect.
May have laid.
Yeah.
May have had been a direct path to you not getting laid a lot.
Careful what you wish for.
But now you got a clean dick and a sound mind.
That's right. The sky's the limit.
That's right. Right.
All right.
So I begin when I do my videotaped. When I'm doing my will, videotape, I start as Adam Carolla, clean dick, sound mind,
being a clean dick
and sound mind, and then I go on to talk about bequeathing my Newman cars.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, officials with the Jefferson County School District in Colorado have proposed a plan to demolish Columbine High School to end the morbid fascination with the 1999 massacre there.
Can I say this? Mm-hmm. What if we just moved it and put it on top of North Hollywood High? Because that high school that I went to is a pile of shit that was built in the early 30s.
It's an eyesore.
These are boxes. I mean, these are... I don't know. What do they call them? Sanitariums or something?
Oh, yeah, a loony bin or something?
Yeah, it does look like that. Yeah.
It's essentially...
That's why they're all spread out.
We had one model for institutions. Right. And we brought it to schools, prisons...
Military,
loony bins. We brought them all. It was just a box. You take a box, you'd paint it kind of beige, you'd put stucco on the outside of it, and you put grates over the windows so people couldn't get in or get out, and that was it. And then you just long hallways, corridors that just connected the boxes, and everything was a box within a box, and that was it. There was an upstairs box and a downstairs box. You put it on a corner, straight line, straight line, straight line. There was no glass, there was no architecture, there was no ornamentation, there was no any. It's just, when you left the box, you were in, like Mr. Space English class, you'd go to the next box, Mr. Bernal's box over there.
Apart.
I went to a big box too.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Mr. Tomey had
his counselor just
had a box. Everyone just had a box. Occasionally there'd be a window, but it was just one big box built from in like the early 30s. And the colors were like avocado. Mm-hmm. And beige and brown.
The worst
very
yellow.
Institutionalized. Mm-hmm. The food was institutional, like everything. And when you see Columbine, you see the big glass atrium and the elevator going up to the whatever. Imagine it, like an elevator. And you go like, he was up on the third floor.
There's a third floor.
That's the roof, right?
Right. Well, so, and there's irony in this too, which I'll get to. But
what year was Columbine constructed?
We'll find out.
So it makes you think. You should go to a place, you guys should move to a place where, like a new place. Mm-hmm. Like the Valley's like 20s, 30s, teens, like too old and everything was just made. And I went to Colfax Elementary, which was small boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Walter Reed Junior High, which was medium-sized boxes. And then I went to North Hollywood High, big box, all built like in the 30s and all just a box.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that is the interesting and ironic thing, because I get it. I mean, there's people showing up in the school trying to get in, you know, taking pictures, inspiring bad ideas.
Built in 73, by the way.
Columbine?
Mm-hmm.
Because Columbine is said to now, of course, be one of the safest schools in the country with a very sophisticated security system. So it's like, what's it worth to you? Just get rid of it, and I get why, and start over. But what have they invested in making this the safest school in the country?
Look, this notion of, like, first off, you know, everyone who built the Golden Gate Bridge is dead.
Right.
Do we need to not cross the Golden Gate Bridge? That's not the same thing. But I mean, this part where it's like, we got to just tear stuff down because something happened.
Well, people are still trying. They are treating it like a morbid, like the Manson sites. You know, like they're trying to get in. They're taking pictures. They're annoying people. Yeah. One woman was so inspired by it. It was her sojourn before she wanted to shoot up someplace. It's like, do we just get rid of the grounds altogether or what?
I don't know. What year was North Hollywood High built? What year was Walter Reed Elementary, or Junior High, built? Everything was built in the 30s, and it was all junk. Sorry.
It's really ugly.
I don't want to make this about me.
That's North Hollywood High was established in 1927.
Wow.
Are you the real victim in this Columbine story?
Doesn't change. By the way, it's bad if your kids go to a school with those radiator heaters in the wall, pumping steam through it. Yeah.
You can melt the crayons
on. It's a bad sign.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin, after 3 years and one Emmy, he is done playing Donald Trump. When asked by USA Today if he'll return to SNL next season, Alec says, "I can't imagine I would do that again. I just can't."
The Walter Reed, 1939. So.
Oh, it's all,
it's all old.
The actor who started impersonating the president in 2016 says, quote, "They should find someone who wants to replace me and wants to do it." He suggested Daryl Hammond. The 61-year-old...
How about a cast member?
Yeah. The 61-year-old father of five now plans to spend his Saturdays with his kids. He said it just crushes his weekends doing SNL, and now that's family time.
I was watching him as John DeLorean.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
It was good, and it was interesting, and he was John DeLorean in the doc, the DeLorean doc.
Right.
And he put all the prosthetics on and everything like that. And like I said, like at a certain point, just that much time in the makeup chair with people like applying things. But I also wonder, I've never thought about it, because I've said, we're going to have the producers on CarCast this Friday if you want to check that out. So here's something to think about. I was talking about like Jim Carrey, and I was like, 4 hours, it's 5 hours a day, it's the Grinch or whatever. And then when I go to a show, the makeup chair is like a big part of what I do. I do my own hair. I just put the gel in. I do my own hair. Then I'll just come in, just put a little powder on, And then I start thinking, like, what is it? So what's going on, like, psychologically for me versus Jim Carrey? So I can't imagine sitting there for 5 hours.
Right.
Or Alec Baldwin. I couldn't imagine sitting in the chair for 3 hours.
Is it also you're not worth the time and attention?
There must be something going on because there's something about Jim Carrey's wiring must like the people working on him. There's something about me that's unacceptable. This is way too much.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't know. But anyway, Baldwin was DeLorean, and it's an interesting story. So, and also, I think Baldwin's getting roasted. I may
get
involved with that.
Do it. He's the next one.
Yeah. Mike. It's one of those Mike August things where he's like, "Hey, you should roast Alec Baldwin." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. But I'm busy, man. Like, I'm really busy. And it's a time suck if you prepare and blah, blah, blah." And that's fine. But I'm like, "Yeah, let me think about it." And then I get an email from him like, "I contacted the producers."
You're in.
Like, I said, "Let me think about it."
Think about saying yes.
So anyway,
oh,
we'll see what happens.
God, I hope you do.
The getting's good for whoever's going to be the next Donald Trump on SNL, because the next, 18 months or so is going to be election run.
At least.
Debates, election. I mean specifically election stuff. You know what I mean? Debates.
It's tough. You're going to get compared to Baldwin, though.
Yeah.
She better be good.
He's beloved.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Trump, Christy Swanson and Dean Cain will need to find a new theater to stage their pro-Trump performance piece.
Swanson?
Yeah. A few days after Christy said they received a death threat over the live reading of FBI Lovebirds Undercovers, the Washington, D.C. theater where the play was set to take place has backed out due to a threat of violence. So in the performance...
Oh, they're doing Strzok and Page?
Exactly. Christy and Dean portray real-life FBI agents Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and read their anti-Trump text messages. Producers say the play exposes how the top FBI operatives tried to destroy President Trump's campaign and his presidency by starting the Russia collusion investigation. A fundraising campaign has been started for the play, which will be filmed before an audience and later released online. The show's producer promises that the show will move to a new location.
What was the problem with the old location?
The theater was getting threats.
It's too many. Listen, everyone, just let everyone do whatever they do, and that'll be that. I wake up, I see a tweet like your PragerU discussion has been flagged and taken off Twitter or whatever, and it's like, really? What is the obsession with what other people are doing? Yeah. It's a horrible. It's bad form. If you're sitting at a club and there's a comedian that does his act or a female comedian does her act before you, you should look at it and you should think, well, here are things that I could learn from that to make my act better. But getting them to shut up or criticizing them or pulling the plug on the PA system, that's a bad impulse.
And for the people who are against this play or Adam's racist Prager U, summarized for you. It's always a bigger story when you when the thing gets taken out because it's threatened by violence.
Yeah, do you think
we'd be talking
about this?
If you just want it to go away, just leave it alone.
And also, whether, if Ben Shapiro's coming to your campus to talk, don't go.
Yeah.
That's just like if there's a bluegrass band that comes to campus, I don't like bluegrass.
Not
I'm not going. I don't need to go out front and protest.
Right. If you're against Ben Shapiro's message, whatever it is, it's a bigger story if he gets canceled because of a threat of violence or if there's the best thing that happened to Ben Shapiro is he gets paid, he goes home, he doesn't say a word, and the story is Ben Shapiro canceled for threat of violence, protests.
Right.
Yeah, I went kind of down a rabbit hole the other day because I'm friends with Dave Rubin, been friends with him for a long time. He's been on this show.
Sure.
And there's this thing called the intellectual dark web.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be misquoting him. I hope I'm not. But one of the things I was watching was him saying, like, I would love for there to be a takeover of this place online where everybody, whatever you believe, Sam Harris, Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, me, and everybody who, claims to be a progressive, we all come together and we're allowed to talk to each other. We're allowed to disagree with each other instead of just trying to shut each other up. And that doesn't seem like that seems so basic to say that, but we're kind of coming around circle again where we have to get back to just being able to have a conversation.
She's one of them. Get her.
or just let people talk or whatever. This notion of like we're going after your sponsors, we're shutting you down, we're getting you pulled off of, YouTube or whatever. It's insanity.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that's funny, it's like if you listen to Prager, he can't control his Wikipedia page. The haters get on the page and write alt-right, racist, whatever on there. And he's like, no, I'm not. And he changes it back. And the second he changes it, they jump on. Imagine that's your life.
Imagine you're like monitoring Dennis Prager's Wikipedia page. Like that's what you choose to do.
I'm doing a book report on Dennis Prager. Let me go to Wikipedia.
But it's just, anyway. I disagree with Alyssa Milano, but I have no thoughts about getting on her page or stopping her from saying whatever she wants to say. Let everyone say what they want to say and then express whatever art they want to do, and then you can either buy a ticket or not. It's not going to change anything. Jesus Christ. All right, anyway, sorry.
How many more do you want?
One more.
Okay. I know this probably doesn't apply to you and Phil, but CBS News reports that dog owners experiencing long bouts of stress can transfer it to their dogs very easily, and it's very easy to check, according to scientific reports. So the Swedish research team focused on 58 people who own border collies and Shetland sheepdogs. They examine the hair from the dog owners and their dogs, and they look at the concentration of cortisol, which is a stress hormone that's released when everybody's stressed out. So it's very easy to check. back on the dog and on the person. Depression, excessive physical exercise, unemployment are just a few examples of stress that can influence the amount of cortisol you have and what you're transferring to the loved ones around you, including your dog. And they said in the article, why your dog? Well, when you become more depressed or you're more stressed out, the dog kind of picks up on that and kind of relies on you more to either regulate, or if you're forgetting to feed them or you're forgetting to walk them, they become sort of more submissive and you're transferring that stress to them.
Phil has the greatest fucking life any
I don't
creature.
Think he has any stress.
It's not even dog. He sleeps on top of me, on top of the bed. Then he gets his big stupid walk down his horse trail and sniffs at all the other dogs. Then he goes out in the backyard and takes a dip in the swimming pool and then just like runs around and does that weird back roll all over the turf in the back.
Pleasure.
I mean, if he's not in the pool, he's not, he's where he just lays everywhere. He just goes wherever the food is and just plops down on the floor.
He's Billy Madison.
Oh, he's the greatest. His life is so goddamn good. It's great. I know I was laughing about this, but it makes me think about it all the time. He can't. The only bad moments Phil has is when Sonny wants to play catch in the yard and Phil will get the ball. And my thing is when I pass it, I'm like, then catch the ball. Because if you don't catch it, Phil will get it. It's a motivator. But Sonny is always like, no, no. And she puts him inside and Phil just stares out of the glass. But there was a great moment where Lynette and Sonny were trying to play catch. And I was like, let Phil out. And they were debating, like, can Phil come out? What if the ball gets dropped? He'll bite the ball. He'll take off with the ball. And then the answer was, he will let him out. And if we drop the ball and he gets the ball, we'll yell out Olga's name and he'll listen. Because he listens to Olga. He doesn't listen to the owners of him. And he doesn't listen to people who own the house. But he'll listen to Olga. My son said to Lynette, he knows Olga's gone. He's not going to listen. Like, he's smarter than us. Olga's smarter than Phil. Phil's smarter than us. That's basically what it is. Because it worked for a while. Like, when he'd get out of line, Sonny would yell, Olga! And then Phil would go like, Olga's mad. It's trouble. But no. So
I think he might be transferring stress to you and the family, but it does not go the other way.
Yeah, Phil's move is he goes out at night, takes a dip in the pool, and then he wants in. And when he comes in, he just flops on the sofa.
Oh,
and so you got to go dry him off. And he's 110 pounds. It's a slow drive for him.
He's got it made.
But he's also weird. Like, you can just take the towel and drape it over him like he's a monk, and he'll just walk around the house with it. Like, he's not bothered by it. He doesn't rub up against anything or do anything.
James Brown.
Yep.
Just drape it. Cape. Keeps going.
All right. That guy had some funky boots, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I'm, like, mayor of Douche Island.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
I know, that house was very tastefully done. Mm-hmm. Lots of artistic flair there. All right, real quick, Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge, fluid titanium, transforms under pressure. Three times! Three times stronger than leading full synthetics. All right, Denver Comedy Works coming up this Friday and Saturday night. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Fool, Helium Comedy Club in Portland coming up July 19th and 20th. Go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows everywhere. And say hi to Lynette over at CorollaDrinks.com and get in on Adam's Monthly Nut. Very creative, very innovative, and I love it. So check that out as well. Good sports coming up next. Check out the new podcast, 22 Hours, An American Nightmare, on Podcast One. I'll tell you more about that coming up. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla. For Gina Grad, Lynette Carolla, and Paul Bryan, say mahalo. We're going to keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing all through the night. We're going to keep on, keep on, keep on doing it right.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with David Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Good Sports. It's time. Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Great thanks for all the feedback on social media. People really like our kibitzing here about sports and the game of life, Adam Carolla. How are we?
I'm looking to win the game of life.
You know what? So far, out in front.
Yeah, I want to win Stratego.
Don't start down that that path of Stratego. Stratego's the JV to Risk.
But let me ask you this. Tell me if you think this is an accurate statement. I've traveled this great land of ours, and I've talked to many people from many diverse backgrounds, and I've figured out that while Whitey sets up dominoes and knocks them over, the black man knows how to play the game of dominoes. They play dominoes.
Right.
We don't play dominoes. We knock them over. I think Stratego is our dominoes. No, wait a minute. No, Connect Four. Connect Four is probably our dominoes, because I think if you... So I like I've done it, because I do it when I do stand-up. There'll be 300 people in the room. There'll be like two black guys in the room. And I'll go, do you know how to play dominoes? The two black guys will go like, I know how to play dominoes. And all the white people don't know how to play dominoes. But if you do the Connect Four, it'll be the opposite.
Well, anecdotally, I don't know how to play dominoes. However, the names that are thrown my way by the general public of people who claim to be champions at Connect Four, the sport which I am, in fact, a three-time champion of back in the mid-90s. I've since retired from competitive four and now only play recreationally and, you know, just for pleasure's sake, as an exhibition to promote the sport to the 21st century. But I have heard the names that I hear are repeatedly, and for real, Jay-Z, I think, or it might be Kanye, one or the other.
Connect Four?
At Connect Four.
Oh, my God.
And one, two, Rajon Rondo.
Oh, my God. The point theory's guard. Out the window.
And three, the biggest one of late is Saquon Barkley.
Connect Four.
And it's interesting. I'm not willing to come out of retirement. Of course, we point towards Muhammad Ali, any number of pugilists who hung on a little too long. We saw what happened to them. Yeah. I don't want to be that guy.
No.
I want to win at life just like you, or at least come in second place to you. However, if offered a head-to-head competition, competitive or otherwise, from Saquon Barkley in the capital of the world for all eyes to see, I might be willing to consider.
What about Jay-Z?
And
we'll see.
No, you know what? Let me take that back. I'll do it for Jay-Z, too.
Wow.
Or Kanye. Anyhow, Ace, how are you? And what was I going to... Oh, you had Akbar Bajabiamila on.
Yeah, I love that guy.
I knew you would. He had his book, as I'm not telling you anything now. I saw him the other day at the NFL and mentioned... I said, I don't have many connections, but Adam Carolla, I suspect, would fall in love with you and you with him. And he said, I was just in there. I just went in there. And I said, oh, you must have gotten along famously. And he said you did.
We did. We do. And he has two things going that I like. He has the football background, which I love. And then he's Nigerian, which I've now have decided. And I've started to train my son. I was training him for the first part of his life that he should find our closest Chinese neighbors and just go and bow and, you know, giving them like a fruit offering, because they will be employing you one day. So you get in early and often. But I've now figured out that the Nigerians are going to be our overlords because not only are they crazed in the physical department, in the physique department, but they're off the hook in mental capabilities as well. They're all doctors and lawyers and great thinkers. And I've realized that they are sort of the superior breed of human being. It's a Renaissance man. You know, look, you're from the tribe, and you guys make a hell of a doctor or lawyer as well, but not a good, you know, lockdown cornerback or rush to
our range, in other words, is what you're getting.
Yeah, there's guys in the UFC that are Nigerian, and they're crazy. They're crazy. I mean, look at what the hell's his name again?
Kamaru Usman.
I mean, look, he's the nicest guy in the world, but look at this guy's physique. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Akbar is one of those guys.
He's
one
of those guys
brother,
as well.
Too.
Yeah. KTB. I mean, yeah. Right.
Akbar is ripped, of course. American American Ninja Warrior and the football playing and all that. A delightful fellow. And something that you talk about all the time is it's not coincidence that his old man took that family into South Central, and all you talk about with family and everything else, there's some merit to it when you talk to Akbar and his siblings about, they stuck there in South Central through everything, and Akbar and his siblings have all come out clean on the other side and successful. And yeah, he's one. And by the way, speaking of the opposite of clean, he also concedes. He should be a regular, if I may be so bold to suggest, because his stories would fascinate you. He admits that casually that, when he had to go playing football, he would just go. He would just make water on himself right there in front of 75,000 people. He would just make on himself. He also concedes that at the bottom of a pile up for a fumble, he would grab whatever he needed to grab to make his foes release the ball.
Wow.
He'd grab... One ball.
Pretty dick centric in those stories.
Anyway, he's great. Anyway,
I agree.
On and on. I want to talk to you about so many different things here, Ace. But one of them, before I forget, because it was late last week and we didn't get to catch up about it. It was National Donut Day, and as I'm sure I don't need to tell you, that is that always marks the annual announcement of the Shecky Award for Best Donut. And if you will indulge me, I'd like to share that with you in the audience right now.
I would. I have many thoughts. Gabe brought in a bunch of donuts. Folks have eaten some of the donuts.
In some pizza.
You brought in pizza?
Just got here. I think you'll have thoughts.
Oh, no. You got a veggie. Who ordered the pizza?
Gabe.
Oh, boy. Gabe. See, okay, can I say this just quickly? With the so there's some donuts that are like cake, and then some are maple, and some are glazed. And I have no problem with the jelly donut with the fruit jelly in it or whatever.
I do, but okay.
But then some donuts just have generic pink frosting and multicolored jimmies on the top, and they don't taste like a fruit. It's just sweet stuff on top of your donut. And I realize I don't like anything that way. Like, I don't like a cough drop that's just sort of generic fruit or whatever. I like it to be lemon,
right,
or have a flavor, or like honey and lemon or something like that. Here's an argument. Would you ever order a pie? By the way, my birthday was a couple of weeks ago. My wife's friend brought over a raspberry pie. Delectable. Mm. My son loved it, announced he liked it more than apple. We melted ice cream, French vanilla on it, turned purple with the purple goo coming out. It was delectable. Would you ever accept a pie if somebody just said, hey, I'm getting a pie. I'm going to get a pie for you. And you're like, oh, what's it? Boysenberry, apple, lemon meringue? What are we talking about? And they went, no, just plain sweet.
It's fruit.
It's just sweet
pie.
And you're like, what? But what fruit? Oh, just kind of pink, kind of just fruit.
Produce.
Just sweet color. It's a color and it's sweet. And you'd be like, yeah, I want lemon meringue, or I want key lime, or I want boysenberry or blueberry or strawberry. No, this is all of them and none of them. It's just color.
It's the crappy. It's the crappy candy necklace.
Yeah, right.
Which has no flavor. It's just gross.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And I get it when you're 9, because when you're 9, you're like a sugar junkie, and like anything sweet is anything sweet. But when you're 39,
your yummy phase. Your yummy phase theory is one of your chief accomplishments on the Big Blue Marble for figuring that one out. And to that point, what adult have you ever seen get jimmies? They are the greatest. They are the best way to identify a young sucker out there, because they have nothing to them. There's nothing good about them. They just color up whatever you're going to eat, and it's like they're ruined. And I'll make a case. Not only do they not, are they irrelevant, they actually injure the quality of your dessert when you jimmy them up.
There's a plain cake, old fashioned donut that's sitting in the box at Gabe brought, and then there's one that looks like a seagull ate three lipsticks and then shit on it, and then somebody put jimmies on top of that.
Yes.
And I just looked at him and I went, this donut is like that donut, except for it makes you fatter and it tastes worse. Why would you
they create a weird texture. And then the chocolate jimmies, which maybe taste a little bit better than the multicolored ones, look like mouse poop.
Right. Show Dave the pink jimmy donut.
I'll bring that in right now.
Oh, although, whenever I go on one of these diatribes, you then notice that the one donut missing is the pink one, and it's because Emmy ate it immediately and walked right past the plate.
Two jimmies left. Look at that. Multicolored jimmies sitting out there. Anybody could have them. Nobody wants them. I do resent the fact that the plain cake donuts just sit there, also untouched.
Well, can I say this? I think I can chalk it up to this. And then please, everyone take this in the spirit in which it's intended. And I'm not going to call out any names because I don't want to insult anybody. But the smart people in this building are on a diet. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to call out any names.
Do you want to say any of the smart people who are on the diet?
So you're getting a weird thing because the smart people are having no donuts. And then the other people, which I could label as smarter, but or not, I don't know. I'll just leave that up there. Are eating the donuts.
You're not going to identify anybody.
I will not.
Because you're classy.
I do.
You know what?
I have a certain couth.
Yes. Well, couth or otherwise, let me tell you about TrueCar right now. And guess what? It's only going to take me 60 seconds. So, like I say, even if you do count yourself among the uncouth, this is for you because 60 seconds, that's how long the ad will take. And you know what else you can do in 1 minute besides eat a donut without sprinkles, which is the preferred way to do it? Or it can take 2 minutes if you want to have a sprinkled donut and then have to knock all the sprinkles off and then eat it. But that's your business if you're going to do that. But anywho, I digress. Here's what you can do in 60 seconds. Get an offer for your car. Just go to TrueCar from your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. Then you bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together, ask us some questions, and you'll get some answers. No surprises. Then leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride, which you can drive right to the local donutery. Is that what it is? A donutery? Donutery?
Donutery.
Donutery. That's it. Also, classy people spell it dough. D-O-U-G-H. Don't go lazy with that. Anywho, when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today, then go to the donutery. Okay, so now we'll kick the official donut announcement, the Shecky Award winner for 2019, and some hot sports talk to tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good
Sports! Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts. And Adam Carolla is unprepared in Denver this weekend. Events, books, movies, Mandria, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.